It is Father's Day today, and we welcome all the fathers who are listening today. And my children have all checked in. Aaron from Camp Tawanga has checked in already. Evan has checked in. I talked to the girls as well, and Robin, and of course Evan is up here. And Bonnie and Greg and Noah and Ruby. So thanks, kids, and I appreciate the love that you give me. Well, it is Father's Day. You know, we talk about it every year. I'm glad to be here for another Father's Day with you.
It's good to be here, too, Marty, and happy Father's Day to everybody out there. Special day, I think, for, you know, the baseball guys, baseball players, and people, for everybody, but even for the guys in the clubhouse. You know, everybody remembers what their dad, the dad's influence they had in baseball. And, you know, most of us, that's where we got our start, was because of our father in baseball. Got some great texts of, you know, happy Father's Day with a glove and two baseballs. You know, Bam Bam sent me that one. And so it's fun. It's fun to be here on Father's Day. And hopefully we have a great day for all our dads out there.
How about that great father in San Jose? Billy Hayes.
Billy Hayes, you know, I want to wish him a happy Father's Day and his staff down in San Jose. I know he listens on occasion. They got a 1 o'clock game down there, and, you know, he's happy. He's got Ramos back, and he's got Bart back, and I have a game today, and I know he likes to listen and critique the show a little bit.
So. He's got a couple little kids, too.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
Happy Father's Day to Billy and, of course, Georgia. You know, well, I love to start the show, and it's Sunday morning. And I just love to have the open. And I know we just jumped right into you, but I want to hear Sam Kennison. So, Raph, go ahead. I want to hear the open to woe this morning.
Time now to go to Sunday school with the professor.
Hey, professor, take it easy, will you?
Giants third base coach Ron Wotus with Marty Lauren.
I didn't know you wanted to get involved with the discussion, Mr. Helper.
On your home of Giants baseball.
Like the way you think.
KNBR 680, the sports leader. Brought to you by River Island, one of the country's top-selling master plan communities just across the Altamont in Lathrop. Where else can you live on a lake, next door to a park, or walking distance to your kids' new school? With 10 new neighborhoods, River Islands is the one place you can't afford to miss.
All right. Well, I love it. I love the beginning to hear Sam Kennison on Sunday morning.
I'm going to go back and watch the movie at one point this season. I'm going to put the movie on. I'm going to, you know, on one of these long flights, we download movies. I'm going to take a look at it.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
it was come
a good
on.
Movie.
I watched that one at least three times in winter.
Well, Rodney Dangerfield was great, too. I mean, if you ever Google his old stuff on Johnny Carson or his stand up, that's entertainment.
Hey, I don't got no respect.
That's
please. I want a little respect here, huh?
Hey, that's a good imitation here. You should have seen the body language he was throwing out here.
The kids would laugh at that. Evan, Bonnie, and Aaron would laugh at that. The other thing I want to say about Father's Day, and, well, before we talk a little baseball, it is a day that is recognized all over the world. But I've said it so many times, if you grew up without a father in the house, which I did, my father passed away 4 and a half, and that's the Uncle Abe Award comes from that. From the Lefty O'Doul Foundation for Kids, as Abe taught me a lot about baseball and life. But there's so many people in the world that don't have the father in the home. It could be a couple. It could be two women, two men,
right.
whatever it may be. It could be the uncle. It could be the coach. It could be the teacher. It could be someone down the street. It could be a neighbor. There is that male influence in the world. So there is an International Men's Day that is somewhere buried out there in November. But this is the day,
right?
And I say that to all the kids and all the people who didn't have the traditional father.
Right.
It's okay.
Yep.
It's okay. There was somebody in your life, and we recognize those people today. And it's very important to do it.
I agree, and that's well put because, you know, you look at, you know, when we were doing our clinics all over the Bay, coaching clinics I used to do with a couple partners of mine, Eric Johnson and Joe Millett, and we used to talk about that. But the influence, you know, talking to the coaches, we talk about the influence they have on the kids. You know, you don't know it in the moment, you know, but the players look up to them. Like you said, teachers, you know, anybody that's involved with the kids and have touch them on a regular basis. Have the ability to influence and impact their life, and you summed it up perfectly. So, yeah, this day's for everybody out there that has been a part of that.
Yep, it is. And, you know, for me growing up, it was always a bad day. You know, no one ever, you know, I didn't have the truth. Everyone went out to dinner, had a celebration. I went home, and that was it. So I'm glad that in the world today we do it differently.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because the compassion you have, because it happens on a lot of holidays, right? I mean, you know, a lot of, like, my dad's gone, people are about, and it is. It can be a sad day for people as well. Yeah. And I know holidays can be tough for people when they're alone, you know. The family's grown and they're gone, and so it's good to keep that in mind and think about those folks that aren't in the traditional situation in the moment. Yeah. So I'm glad you mentioned that.
All right, Sunday morning. All right, it's Sunday morning with the professor and the philosopher. We're both philosophers this morning as well. I love the game yesterday. And as I said, you know, you watch the highlights every night on MLB and the quick pitch and all that stuff. Their balls are flying all over the place. Well, there were five more home runs between Washington and Arizona yesterday. And you had an 8-7 game, and you had a lot of good situational hitting. How about four walks in a row? When was the last time you saw that?
Yeah, well, we knew he could get wild. And when you have that history, you know, and that's your MO, it, you know, you keep waiting for it to show up. Now, I wouldn't expect that many walks in a row. But once he started walking people, we had to take. I mean, you saw it coming. And, you know, we didn't swing the bat there. We let him try to throw strikes. He couldn't. And without that moment, we would have never, probably wouldn't have got back in the game. That's what turned the game right there, was not swinging the bat and letting the pitcher walk us.
And then now we're talking baseball. Then after that, Pablo hits the ground ball to first. Okay. Run comes in. Then you get a sacrifice fly. Run comes in.
Yeah, we scored three runs in that inning without a hit. It's a little bit like we used to talk about, you know, runs thrown in, and our playoff run when we scored 16 runs, you know, it's wild pitch, pass ball, a balk, an error. And you need those things throughout the course of the season. You know, it happened for us in the playoff run. We had big moments where we didn't beat ourselves and were able to win those championships. And it was well documented that we scored some runs without hits. And, of course, it happened yesterday. And then, of course, we did get a lot of big hits in that game. So that's what made the game so fun. We got back in it because of that. And then some great performances by the guys coming through when they needed to.
Great, you know, situational hitting by Sandoval and Vogt, as I said. But how about Vogt yesterday? And, you know, this guy's a catcher in the way he runs.
Yeah, you know what? He's a gamer. There's no other way to put it. His influence on the club is more than just what he brings at the plate or calling the game behind the plate. It's the way he plays the game, and that rubs off on everybody. He's a great teammate. But, you know, he doesn't hit a ball and run easy down the line. I believe he got the infield hit.
Come on, they turned the game
around. Exactly. No question. We talk about the triples, but the infield hit where he busted his tail, and everybody sees that, and it rubs off on everybody. Honestly, I've been real happy with the way the guys have been running the bases. I think they've been running them hard. They've been into the games and doing everything they can to make a difference on the bases during the course of the game, and it's showing up.
We got to see the bricks play a part yesterday. You know, and I know we don't see it that often, but I'll tell you, of all the uniqueness of this ballpark, that's the one I like a lot, and we don't see it enough. That line drive comes off the bricks. You don't know where it's going. How do you even prepare for that?
Well, it's not easy to prepare for, because there's so many nooks and crannies and angles. I mean, if the ball hits the bricks flush, it's going to go to the left, no doubt about it. But I still remember when we first moved into this ballpark in the year 2000, and we spent a lot of time hitting balls off those bricks without the players to see which way they would bounce. And, you know, we were worried there's going to be inside the park home runs, because they hit there in Triples Alley and they kick to the left, and that ball could roll around another 60 yards. So as a left fielder, if you don't think you're in the play, you better move towards center field, because that ball could kick that way. And we spent a lot of time doing it, and then we did it with the players. But it's a difficult wall to play. You know, we got Yastrzemski in left. His grandfather was the best at playing the wall at Fenway Park. You have to ask him, you know, if he got any pointers about playing the wall out here in San Francisco.
Yeah, that's a good point. Schierholz is pretty good, wasn't he? You know, think back to the right fielders you had, Cruz. That played out there. Who are some of the right fielders that come to mind for
well,
you?
Well, you know, Cruz did a heck of a job. Ellis Burks way back, he did a nice job. Reggie Sanders played out there for us. We had some very good outfielders here. in this park. And I think the guys I just named were great outfielders. And, you know, you when you go, when that ball goes off the bricks, you expect it to bounce to the left a little bit because of the angle of the wall. But if it hits the fence or if it hits something else and kicks another way, there's nothing you can do. I think the most important thing is you can't get too close to the wall. You have to know when to back off the wall. And then you got to be ready to move and chase the ball down hard when it does kick. If you take your time getting to the ball, it's real trouble.
Well, Ichiro hit the grand slam, but hit the home run, inside the park home run.
That's right.
In the All-Star game, remember that? It kicked away, and he just took off. What a player he was. You obviously managed or coached against him.
Yes, no, he was one of the best and a very unique individual doing what he did in Japan, and to come over here and do what he did here in the States with the longevity that he had and all the records that he has set. A special player of all time. I think he's got to be at the top of the list of a special player in the game, and brought a lot of interest to the game worldwide. Not just here, but in Japan. And he's a hero over there in Japan, no doubt about it.
Yeah. I talk about sacred records in baseball, and of course, you have Pete Rose with the hit record.
Right.
But if you take Ichiro's hits in Japan and here, he's right up there.
Yeah, no question. It's going to be a tough one to beat because of longevity. But, that one's still probably obtainable. There's one other that comes to mind in my mind that's probably not going to be obtainable in this day and age. And I would say that's Cal Ripken's record. Games played. And the way the game's played with the off days and the way the game's designed today, I just don't know if another player is going to have that longevity and be in the lineup every single day without an injury or without just taking an off day because, the organization wants to give him an off day.
Yeah. Well, the sleep doctor is involved. that's the issue.
Well, a lot of organizations today want their players rested.
Yeah.
They have planned off days for them. Years ago, we would just, the eye test would tell you when a guy needed a day off. When he's 0 for 20 and he's punching out and it looks like the bat's dragging, that's when you need an off day.
Yeah.
But today, with sports science and their projections and, they're testing their hydration and their health and knowing more about it, they feel they can predict when a guy's more at risk to get injured if you run him out there too many days in a row. And they try to keep the players on the field because it's so valuable to be on the field and not be injured. And any team will tell you that if you're going to win, you need your horses on the field.
Yeah.
And so it's monitored a heck of a lot more than 20 years ago. 20 years ago, you didn't want to get Wally pipped, right? You did not want a day off. And that's the conversation that my rookie boat coach told us when I was signed in 1979 out of high school. He sat us all down and he said, look, you guys have to know a difference between an injury and being sore or being tired. And he told the Wally Pipp story and says, you never come out of the lineup because you're tired or sore. If you're hurt, legitimately hurt, that's one thing. And, that's the way we were brought up in the game.
Well, so people who don't know the Wally Pipp story, of course, he was the first baseman for the Yankees in the 1920s. And he said one day, he wasn't feeling that good. He had a headache or something. And he said to the manager, Miller Huggins, I don't think I can play today. Huggins said, okay, the New York Yankees said, we'll put the other first baseman in. And, of course, the other first baseman was Lou Gehrig. And 2,130 games later, Wally Pipp was still waiting to get back in the lineup.
Yeah,
so
great.
It's a very famous famous story of baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. But, there's so much about the game yesterday that I liked. As I say, I watch the highlights every night, and these home runs are flying all over the place. I think it's getting tougher to evaluate a good performance by a pitcher because the runs are so plentiful now and the home runs are flying out of the park. I think you got to factor that in now.
Well, the ball makes a difference. I'm sorry, I've said this many, many times, but there's no question the ball is harder. The ball is flying like crazy. And that makes it tougher on the pitchers. They're alone. Heaven forbid that they move the mounds back.
Right.
I just don't see that happening. There's conversation about that. But that would make it real tough on the pitcher and injuries and who knows what else will happen because of that. But it does make it more difficult. You know, just the gripping of the baseball, you know, the softness of the grip, the seams, how a pitcher can spin the ball. And that's why you see a lot of guys today, you know, they have little pine tar. Years ago, you look at the hat, you see the rosin, the hats filled in, and nobody does anything about it because, you know, everybody realizes, you know, you have to have some sort of grip on the baseball. But that wouldn't be allowed years ago. There's no way. No way it would happen.
Now, you think baseball should just come clean and say, look, this is what we got going on here? I mean, the home runs are just crazy. The ball is flying out. You see it, the one-handed swings and all that. Why doesn't baseball just kind of come out and say, okay, this is what we're doing?
Yeah, I don't know if that's the answer. I don't know what the answer is. I'm not smart enough for that. But, you know, if you did that, guys would take it to a different level. Who knows what they would be using to get an advantage. So, you know, it's illegal. I mean, if you're not discreet and it's over the top, you still there'll be consequences for it, and it's up to the managers to call somebody out, right? If you know a pitcher's loading the ball up or using pine tar and you want to call him out, you can do it. But so I think it's fine the way it is right now.
Yeah, pine tar seems to help. I mean, they seem to think pine tar's okay.
Yeah, they do.
You get a better grip, right?
That's the attitude. Yeah, there's a lot of things you know, players have used over the years just to get the ball tackier and have a better grip. So it's an issue. You know, it's an issue how the ball feels in their hand, no doubt.
Yeah, I still love yesterday. There's so many points of yesterday. I just want to cover a couple because it leads us into baseball discussions. Belt. I mean, you and I have talked about this 363, 361, the 364. I don't know what they're doing, but this guy just makes that play like he's just sleeping. I mean, he just walks right through with no problem.
Yeah, he's smooth. Look, Brandon Belt has the gold glove ability.
Shouldn't
over
he get
there.
One?
He's in the running. I think he's having his best year to date, you know, limiting his errors on the field. You know, we all have errors or careless errors, things that come up. You know, sometimes it's not your fault. The ball takes a weird hop, bad hop, and those situations haven't arose as much. He's diving for the ball. He keeps getting better. You know, that's the thing that I like. When you get a player, you know, no matter how many years they've been playing, they still want to get better, and he's been getting better at first base. But the thing I love about him is he can make any play you want over there. He can turn to double play. He can pick the ball out of the dirt. He can charge on the bunt, throw to second. He has that type of arm. He's not afraid to do it. He can take a ground ball deep back at first base when the infield's playing back. And if the third baseman doesn't, runner at third base doesn't get a good jump, he'll surprise you and throw the ball home. We've seen that. So he could do it all. He could do it all over there. And it's a nice weapon to have when you're in the National League and teams are bunting. You can run a crash play. You know, and also he gets down there quick. Yeah. So, you know, some guys that they play at first base, they may have a good arm, but they're not fleet of foot. So you run a crash play, they can't get down there and get that good bunt and get the lead runner at third. And he busts his tail over there to do these things.
Yeah, I'm glad we're talking about him a little bit. I think this is his best season. Even offensively, I think this is his best season. He's got a long way to go if he stays healthy. I think a lot's going to happen for him home run wise. But I'm getting the feeling, like with the JT Snow, you and I have talked about it, that every game you go out here, you watch Belt, he's going to do something. And he snagged a couple of line drives, yesterday. He plays so far off the bag. And I know we've talked about this because he's got to get back to the bag for a throw, and the fielders have got to figure that out. Remember, Solarte had a double clutch and didn't understand where Belt was?
Exactly.
But he's so far off the bag, he snagged a couple that were they were going into right field.
Yeah, and that's, you know, you really have to bust your tail when you play that far off the line. You think every time the ball is hit, you're in a dead sprint to first base. You can get there later. The ball's on. It's more difficult to do that. You put yourself in a higher risk for, you know, just for getting to the bag late. Or like we said, Solarte, you know, he turned the throw and Belt wasn't quite there. You had to wait. So other things come up. But we've made some adjustments there. I think that sometimes he was playing too far off the line because he wants to take that hole. And he shortened it up a step here and there because now it allows you to get to the base quicker. And, you know, if you get to the base and the ball is already on the way, it's harder to pick a low throw in a dirt because you just, everything speeds up. You're getting there, you turn around, here comes the ball. If you get to the base sooner, you know, before the infielder throws it is ideal, what most of the time you want to do. You could read the throw much better. Is it going to sink? Is it going to tail? And then you can adjust your feet on the ball in the dirt. So we talked about that because there was a couple balls he didn't pick early in the year. And we kind of felt like, hey, maybe you should play a step closer to the base because everything's happening so quick.
Yeah.
And made it a little easier on himself. And of course, you can't tell by watching the games that he shortened it up a little because he still does a great job playing off the line.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's JT Snowish. It's starting to happen for him. And those two that he snagged yesterday, though, were huge.
Yeah.
And then I want to just compliment him on the hit. You know, the two-out hit. You know, you got the double play in the eighth inning, and all of a sudden now he gets a hit, another hit, and Vogt legs out the hit, and that's the run that eventually wins the game.
No doubt.
And that, so I think offensively, you know, he's taken his walks. But I think eventually this could, if he stays healthy, this could be his best year.
I agree. No doubt. I agree.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about Yastrzemski a little bit.
Okay.
Because, look, we both enjoyed him. I think we both like saying his name.
Yeah. I think everybody likes saying his name.
No kidding.
Yeah.
But there's something about this kid, and we talked about it the first weekend he was up here. He's got some baseball sense. He can cover the plate a little bit. Then maybe, and look, he hit a ball. Whoa, the home run hit the other night.
Yeah,
it looked like a golf shot out at Pebble Beach.
No doubt.
Come on, he got it at his ankles and hit it 450 feet.
Huge hit for us. And you don't see many balls hit out of center field like that. And, you know, you look at his stature and his size, and you don't expect him to be driving balls out of dead center off a left-hander sinker baller. So it was he is a low ball hitter, and he got a pitch in his zone, and he drove the heck out of it, and that was really the home run that put us up 5-2.
Yeah.
That made the difference in the game because they kept inching back. They scored another run, and that one got a little hairy there at the end, but that was the biggest hit in the game. But we've talked about him. He's a baseball player. You know, he reminds you of a guy like Bill Miller, the mule, right? He's the same. He gets the most out of his ability, and he comes to play, and he works at his craft. And, you know, I have the utmost respect for people that get the most out of their ability.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about the catch.
Okay.
Because here it is. It's the ninth inning. And now here's Will Smith, the third day in a row. And I think if I'm Will Smith, don't even bring your spikes today. Just stay home.
Yeah, right.
And watch the game, you know.
You know what? He has been outstanding, Will Smith, on the mound for us. And I don't know. I haven't looked at the numbers. But when he's on the mound, I think it's Rob then. I think it's Brian Wilson.
Really? That good?
No, I think he's been that good. I you know, he does it differently.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't do it with the power. But for a pitcher to do what he's done in that closer role, he's a different, you know, how many closers are a finesse guy, a location guy? There's not many of them. And I think he's been that good, and he's such a big part of what we do here.
Yeah, he's been amazing. All right, so he comes into the ninth inning here, third day in a row. You know, well, he had the off day Thursday when you and I were at Priest Ranch Wine Tasting Room, which we'll talk about. But here he comes in again, and he throws a pitch up and in to Yelich. And how about Yelich? I mean, come on. This guy just muscles the thing into left center field.
Yeah, he's having a great year. It's, you know, we all knew he was an outstanding player because he was in Miami. But it just shows you when you get a guy into a different scenario what they can do. And sometimes, you know, whether it's an older player where you can be rejuvenated, and I'll mention Carmen's favorite and one of my all-time favorites, Hunter Pence. Yeah. You know, look what he's doing in Texas.
Could be an all-star.
He could be. He probably should be an all-star. A change of scenery and what it can do for you to rejuvenate your career. But here's a guy who was down there in Miami. You know, they had some good players, but, you know, they never were in the thick of it playing for the playoffs. And you take them out of there and you put them in. Of course, Milwaukee's a much better player. Park in division to hit in that he's in, but the talent was always there, and he's brought his game to a new level, and he's one of the premier players in the game today, no doubt about it. Look at the bases he's stealing. I think he's got 16 stolen bases, so he's got power. He can run. He can do it all.
Yeah, boy, that's a good point too. Yeah. He can run, and I thought you got away with it with Vogt behind the plate. It didn't hurt you too much, but you know, the Brewers
They're aggressive. They're aggressive they're on the bases, and they're going to take advantage. And that's the way you like to play. If you have the speed and you can do it, if there's a weakness or you know, you see an opening where you can do something, if a pitcher's slow to the plate, you try to take advantage. Especially in this park, you know, a different park, Milwaukee, you might just sit back and pound the ball and not take the chance. But I think here, it lends itself more to I need to get to second base. A stolen base becomes a little more important.
Great baseball game.
Yeah, I know.
It wasn't, you know, for the educated professors of the game, you know, you like to see 2-1 and clean. But for me, this was a game, yes. I had a lot of fun with this. I really did.
It was a good game, you know, because we won, Marty. That was number one,
right?
True. We came back and we won. But, no, there were a lot of good things happened. There was a lot of baseball. Very exciting for the fans and nice ball game.
All right, let's finish up the ninth inning. All right, so now Braun gets a base hit. He muscles one over Crawford, and he's got a base hit. And I'm sitting there, I'm saying, all right, here we go. You know, you got a one-run lead, and now you throw over to first to keep Braun close.
Yeah.
And not many people said, why are they throwing at first? Braun's not going anywhere. But it did keep him close, and just in case.
Something. That's not true. I mean, if you ignore him over there, he could steal a base. Again, it's risk-reward. Well, you know, if you get thrown out, it's over.
Right.
So it's a little harder to steal in that situation. You know, if you're in the seventh or eighth, you got a few outs left, you might try it. But if you ignore him completely, he'll steal a base. He'll steal third base. So, you know, it's tougher to go on the lefty.
Yeah.
But we needed to keep an eye on him, and we did. And Will did a nice job of keeping him there at first base so the catch could happen.
Well, you know, the 1926 World Series ended with Babe Ruth trying to steal second base.
It did.
Against the Cardinals, and he was thrown out. That was the end of the 1926 World Series.
Well, you know, it's interesting because we've always been aggressive, and Boach was aggressive in San Diego. I remember him. You know, when I managed in the minor leagues and in all the games I am involved with here, you never want to make the last out of the game trying to steal a base to get in the scoring position because you say, well, you know, the guy can hit one out, he could hit one in the gap, whatever. You look at that as a blunder. But, you know, there's times when you try it when you have a closer that's slow to the plate because, you know, you're not going to get three singles off the guy.
Yeah.
So there's times that you do try it, and it's awful when it happens, but I'm not totally against it. If the odds are in your favor that you're going to make it, I mean, when you're facing Rob then and you got a man on first and two outs, you're going to wait for two more singles or you're going to try to get in a scoring position where one single you can tie the game. So if a pitcher's that slow to the plate, you got to try it sometimes.
Well, that's what the Babe did.
He did, and it didn't work.
It didn't work.
I don't recall him being talked about a whole lot for base stealing. I may be wrong about that, but I don't think he was a base stealer, was he?
No, he's a good baseball player.
Yeah.
But
they hit a couple home runs.
They hit about 714, okay, as we like to say. All right, so now, Braun, you keep him close and for the stolen base, and also for me, a ball in the gap. Maybe it's a step or two he doesn't get because you've kept him a little closer. That was a little baseball thing. All right. Now the ball is hit by Grandal, hitting right-handed off the lefty. And, you know, we know that's his weaker side. But he gets into one, and it's falling into left field. And I compliment Duggar, who was backing up Yastrzemski.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
What did you think when Yastrzemski took off?
Well, first of all, there are no doubles. They're playing very deep. Because right. you don't want a ball over your head where the runner from first can score. So when it was first hit, I thought he was going to be there easy. But then as the play developed, as you said, it looked like it took 15 minutes for that play to develop.
Isn't it funny how long it takes?
Yeah.
That's the beauty of baseball.
And I didn't see him there. I said, oh, no, it looked like it was going to drop. And because we were playing deep, which is the right move. And then he comes out of nowhere and dives forward like Pilar Superman. I mean, really leaves his feet forward and makes a game-ending catch. It was a great catch. It is one of the best catches we've seen here. You know, it's got to be in the top 10 somewhere because of the meaning of it and how far he flew. And it's risky, too. It's risky in the fact if he doesn't catch it, the runner from first could score. If he doesn't reach it, you know, and a ball kicks away, now it's a tie game. But he made the right decision because he caught it. He knew. No, seriously, he was not going to be denied. He knows Duggar's behind him. But as an outfielder, there's a lot of times, you know, you want to dive for a ball, but if you miss it, you know, maybe two runs score, maybe the runner's advantage, you know, so you have to temper yourself. So he has a lot of guts out there. He's a baseball player. He knew he was going to catch the ball. He made a great diving catch.
Well, he was airborne.
Yeah, he was.
That was Eric Burns.
Yeah.
That was Burnsy.
That's right.
You know, I'll never forget the greatest catch I ever saw Burns make.
That's right.
He actually flew through the air. I mean, honestly, look, like he needed a cape, Superman cape.
And I'd like to add, I think this might be, this talk about this catch may be the longest segment we've ever had on your show here in all the years we've been doing it. It's been going on for about 30 minutes, I think, Carmen, about this great catch. We started and we got off track, but we finished it, Carmen, so we can move on.
Yeah.
Are we done?
I think you're done. You should take a break.
All right. I liked the game yesterday.
Good game.
I did. I thought
He's
it was a great
buzzing. Yeah.
It was a great baseball game yesterday. We needed it, and that's that. Let me tell you. I'll say that we'll take a break. That's what's going on in baseball all over the landscape. Games like this.
Yeah.
And that's the way you got to play today. And the guys in the middle of the order hit, and you won the game.
Yeah.
All right. I'll let it go. All right. Well,
time
we're going to move.
Break.
All right. We're going to take a break. The professor's here. All right. I got into it on Father's Day. What can I tell you? We're going to talk about the Babe Ruth jersey that was auctioned off. Well, I don't know if you know about this, but where do you hear what this thing went for?
Oh, no.
Babe Ruth jersey. All right, we'll take a break. More coming up right after this. All right, nice to have you back on this Father's Day. Woe and I just dissected the longest game of the year. That was fun. I liked it.
There was a lot going on in that game.
You got a lot of fans listening to you. You got a lot of texts.
Yeah, well.
Come on, you get texts all over the
place.
Yeah,
we got some texts, you know, the staff in San Jose. Billy's got them listening. They're critiquing me, and they're sending me texts. So thanks, guys. I appreciate the help this morning.
Mark Gardner used to do that.
Yeah, I miss Gardy. I wish he'd come walking by. He'd usually come walking by at this point, going to the clubhouse.
All right. Hey, Babe Ruth jersey goes up for auction, and the Babe Ruth family, there's a granddaughter or something, you know, took some of the memorabilia to raise some money. $5.64 million.
Really?
How about that?
Wow. Well,
you got any old jerseys at home?
Yeah, well, they're not going to go for much. You know what? He's iconic. I mean, come on. You know, Barry Bonds is a home run king. We all know that. You know, Hank Aaron. But I think Babe Ruth, still, maybe because it's so long ago in the lore of, you know, you see the old black and white, you just see a little film. But he's the guy. I mean, really, if you identify with baseball, it's Babe Ruth.
Yeah, Babe Ruth sort of put it on the map.
Yeah, is that, okay.
You know, in the 20s, really,
right.
Because the home run became part of the fabric of America. America wanted instant gratification. They didn't want to see four singles.
Right.
To score. They wanted to see the ball go over the fence, and it's been doing it since 1920, and he was the guy who did it.
Well, plus his personality. You know, he was an outgoing and obviously controversial in a lot of ways. You know, he was a character, to put it mildly, and you know, that becomes larger than life too, I think, as time goes by. So.
$5.64 million. What do you got at home? That not that you have to reveal too much, but do you have any special little things that you've kept over the years? Are you a memorabilia guy?
Not really. I've gotten, you know, I've autographs and things when I first started. You know, you want to leave to your nieces and nephews and things like that. But you know, it was great to see Ali in the clubhouse with us. You know, he signed a ball years ago, but then it was about 6 years ago he was in the clubhouse with us. But his health wasn't real good at that point, so you really couldn't even carry on a conversation. But there's iconic people like
one.
that you run across that being in this great game, you have an opportunity to say hello to. And I used to enjoy those moments quite a bit.
Well, what it is, it gives you a connect. It's like catching a ball at a ball game. For that moment, you are part of the game. You have connected to the game. You've crossed.
Yeah.
It's like the Field of Dreams. You've crossed over that line, and somehow you've become part of the game. So when you get an autograph or you meet someone or you have that memorabilia, it brings you back to that moment and makes you part of the game, and I think that's the lure of it.
Yeah, yeah, and I, you know, like you said, you identify. My dad's favorite player was Stan Musial.
Okay,
you know, and the late Joe Buck. We were talking one day in St. Louis, And I brought that up because Wotus, you know, he's Polish, Musil was Polish. No, he's from Western PA, too, is where he's from. And anyways, long story short, I told him that, and he goes, you know what? I see Stan every day on the way to the ballpark. I'm going to get him to sign a picture to your dad. What's your dad's name? And sure enough, he came back to the park the next day, had a picture of Stan the man, and it was signed to my dad. So
wow.
You know, that really made me feel good.
Wow.
He went out of his way just to do that, and just in our conversation, and I never forgot that. And what a nice man he was.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's a great story. Yeah, it's that moment. That's the autograph. You know, I'm sure you get asked for autographs a lot. It gets you connected to the fan. That's the deal.
Yeah, you know what? And I think it's good to do it as much as you possibly can, because we all forget what it's like. You know, you're in this business, you're doing it a long time. You got to remember, you know, what it was like. I've told you many times on this show, you know, as a kid growing up, imitating the players in the driveway playing wiffle ball. And that's what it's all about. So you see the kids, it's nice to take time for them and even the grown-ups as well, because they were kids at one point.
Yeah, in Brooklyn, I never got an autograph. It was impossible.
No, it was impossible to get?
No, you couldn't.
You couldn't get close enough.
No, you didn't have those moments.
Right.
And it wasn't part of the fabric of baseball to sign things and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So you had to be lucky. And
Now it's a selfie.
Exactly.
Right?
Oh, come on.
I wonder if people have a selfie collection on their computers or on their wall, opposed to, you know, something signed, which makes a lot more sense.
I mean, I think there are people who like stuff signed, but I personally think that the experience of interacting, getting a selfie, maybe talking to the player would be cooler, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Well, it's good that baseball does it, and they figure that out. All right, one more thing. I know we've talked for a while this morning. The All-Star Game is coming up. The voting is coming up. Well, you vote. Do you vote on that? You vote.
Yeah, we vote. You can't vote for your own players, though.
So are you a guy who says, I want to see the stars of the game, or I want to see the guy, Tommy La Stella, who's got 15 home runs for the Angels at second base?
Yeah, vote for La Stella. I vote for the player that I believe deserves it, who's having a good year.
Okay.
You know, I played. And if I'm having a good year and deserve to be an all-star, you know, and there's three other players that are traditionally, you know, stars way better than me, sorry, I want to be the all-star. They didn't get the most out of their ability. See, it goes back to that.
Yeah.
So they're not having that year. So I vote for the guy that I think is most deserving, and you put everything into account, you know, and that's the way I like to vote.
Favorite baseball all-star memory for you? Because you've been part of a number of all-star games now. Do you have a favorite all-star memory?
Ooh, well,
for you?
You know, nothing comes to mind, but what jumps out to me is when I was managing in the Texas League, the All-Star Game.
Oh, yeah, how about that? Sure.
Yeah, and we went down to Mexico to play one of the games, and I hadn't been there for a game, and this isn't a favorite moment, but they had a mascot on the field. And the mascot was, you know, running around the field, and it was a Texas League All-Star Game. We had Jacob Cruz. Remember the outfielder, Jacob Cruz? So he decides to have a little fun with the mascot. And the mascot is taunting him. It's like 10 minutes before the game. He's taunting him out, and they're getting loose for the game, running their sprints. So Jacob decides to tackle him. So when he wasn't looking, he ran up, and the stands were full. This place was packed. And they have the chicken wire all the way around the stands so people don't throw bottles and stuff on the field. I never saw that at a ballpark. So anyways, he tackles him, and we're watching, and now he doesn't get up.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, he injured the mascot. So now the game's delayed 15 minutes. They have to bring the stretcher out on the field, and they took him off on the stretcher, and the fans were booing and going nuts. Now, that's not my favorite story, but it was a moment that's etched in my mind.
Very good. Very good. Carmen, you got a quick question for you?
Yeah, I meant to ask, were you there for Vogie's All-Star appearance?
Yes, yeah.
How was that? Because I know he probably never thought he would be at an All-Star game.
You know, that's great to see. You mentioned Vogie in the All-Star game doing that. I remember when we had Panic and Crawford at the All-Star game hitting them ground balls. That's probably at the top. And watching them interact as All-Star and seeing the smile on their face. To have both middle infielders there. That was special. So, yeah, thanks for jogging me memory on that. Yeah, Vogie, it was great for him because he had been through so much in his career. You know, Japan, the Giants, Pittsburgh, you know, all over the place, and then back to being an All-Star. Great.
Well, baseball does it well. They market the All-Star game really well, where it actually means something.
Yeah.
To everybody connected to it, and it's different than any other sport.
No doubt.
The baseball All-Star game, they do it well, and that's what all that voting's going on. Hey, we had fun at the Priest Ranch Wine tasting room the other night, and I know River Islands is a big part of what you're doing and a lot going on over there.
Yeah, we did. I enjoyed it. The wines were great, and all the fans that came out at the tasting room in Yountville, that was a lot of fun. We got to talk to them a little bit and enjoy some good wine, and I was just looking and got to see Colleen from River Islands, and some of those people were there, and you know, I was just informed about, you know, the newest neighborhoods that are open for previewing. And the thing that's really neat about those is they're surrounding lakes, the new neighborhoods, and every house is going to have its own dock, which is great, you know. But we talk about the waterways, but whether you kayak or paddleboard or canoe, whatever you want to do, you have your own dock and you're on a lake. And, you know, that's hard to find here in the area.
No, it's great. RiverIslands.com and just east of Tracy and Lathrop. And I think it's a community. You walk out your front door, you got neighbors. You can walk out and throw the ball around.
Yeah,
that's what I like about it.
Yeah, well, they're getting everything. You know, the farmer's market, they have that. They have the ballpark there. But there's a lot of things going in. It keeps getting bigger and bigger. And it's nice to be able to walk to the farmer's market and walk back home and have this all right there at your fingertips.
I brought you a peach today.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. I love a good peach.
Yeah. We're not there yet, but we're getting there. Once the peaches are good on the trees, then baseball is really, really going.
Is this thing edible? It looks like a donut.
It's a donut peach.
I don't think I've ever seen a donut.
You're going to enjoy it.
What do you think, Carmen?
It looks a little suspect, but...
Trust me.
You know, I know, if it tastes good, it tastes good.
I know my fruit.
Do you?
Yeah.
You eat straight into the Meyer lemon. You bite into the lemon.
I love Meyer lemons. Come on. Meyer lemon's the best thing ever.
Is that why that lemon's sitting over there?
Yeah, he'll have it, and he'll just eat the lemon with his, like,
Meyer
he'll peel
lemons.
It, and he doesn't do anything. He just bites
wow.
into it.
Too much information on a Sunday morning.
It's true, though.
All right.
You're exposed.
Thank you so much.
You're
all
welcome.
Right. Have a happy Father's Day, Woe, and for you, you do so much in your family, and I know you and Lori do a lot for your family. So enjoy the day, and have a good day, and sweep the Brewers.
Yes, let's do it. Thank you, Marty and Carmen.
All right.
Good seeing you.
All right, more coming up. That's the professor on Sunday morning. I know we went long. More coming up right after this.